God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
So, I had a memory come up on Facebook this week from about 10 years ago. We had gone down to a Casting Crowns concert, and I heard something then that made a profound impact on me. And I thought about it many times over the years, but it just came up as a reminder this week. It says, when you think you let God down, whoever told you you were the one holding God up? God knew you before you were formed, Scripture tells us. We're going to get into some of that. But I want to talk about God considered you, who you are, where you've been, where you're going, all your mistakes, all your triumphs, all your failures, everything, every word, every thought. He knew all about that and still chose you. Praise God. I want to start in Matthew. I want to start going through the genealogy of Jesus, and we're going to talk about some of these people. We're not going to go through the whole big, well, we're going to read the big long list, but we're not going to go through talking about each and every one of them. But talking about from Matthew 1, beginning with verse 2, it says, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah and his brothers, Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar, Perez begot Hezron, Hezron begot Ram, Ram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab, Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abiud, Abiud begot Eliakim, Eliakim begot Azor, Azor begot Zadok, Zadok begot Achim, Achim begot Elihud, Elihud begot Eleazar, Eleazar begot Mathan, Mathan begot Jacob, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Real quick, running through of what Matthew gives as the genealogy of Jesus, taking him all the way back to Abraham. Now over in Luke, it takes him all the way back to Adam. But you just take a look at some of this. And like I said, I'm not going to go through all of them. There's just a couple of them I wanted to point out. In verse 3, Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And I want to talk about how God knows our failures and God's plan knows where we're at, where we're going, what we're going to do. So for Judah to beget Perez and Zerah by Tamar, you remember the story back in Genesis. Judah had three sons. And his first son got married to Tamar. And the scripture says he displeased the Lord and God killed him. So as their custom was, it wasn't even in the law yet, but as their custom was, the widow of the oldest son became the wife of the next son to might raise up seed to the first son to carry on the lineage. Now the second son didn't like that idea. And I won't go into detail, but he displeased the Lord and the Lord killed him. So now the third son is too young to take a wife. So Judah tells Tamar, go back to your father's house. And when the youngest is old enough, I'll call for you. And you'll marry him and raise up seed to the lineage. That's what we'll do. She says, okay. She goes back to her father's house. He goes on about his business. The son grows up. Judah never calls for her. So she finds out that he hasn't kept his word and goes through and pretends to be a harlot. Judah goes into her. She gets pregnant. He finds out his daughter-in-law is pregnant. He wants to have her killed because she's, disgraced the family. And she says she provides evidence that he is the father. So that's how all this happens. So think about God laying out the lineage of Jesus, because in the very beginning, in the garden, there's prophecy that Jesus is coming. All through the Old Testament, you have these prophecies that Jesus is coming. So God knew about the older son. He knew about the younger son. He knew about Judah. And that was all taken into account to get down to Jesus. So we'll jump off of this for a minute. I'm going to reference back to it a little later, but I'm not going to actually read it, but I'll reference back to it. But we go to Esther. Book of Esther, starting in chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. You remember the story of the book of Esther? I can give you the story of the book of this and the book of that for a long time, just because it fascinates me how God has laid out his plan and purpose all down through the pages of history. But in the book of Esther, in chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, Mordecai, who is the uncle, told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" We always grab onto that last verse. Who knows whether or not you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this? God has you right here, right now, for his purpose. And even though things might be in turmoil all about us, all around us, it's because God has a plan and purpose that includes us. But we tend to gloss over the first part of that, where Mordecai says, if you don't step up, don't think you're going to get away scot-free. God is still going to fulfill his plan, but if you're not willing to be part of it, God's got something else in mind. But maybe, just maybe, God has you right where you are just for this purpose, to bring salvation through you. God knows our choices. God considers what we're going to do. God knows our hearts. Before we ever breathed a breath, before we ever had a thought, God, who knows the end from the beginning, looked down through the pages of time. I talked a couple of weeks ago. Well, I've talked many times over the years, but a couple of weeks ago, talked about how that verse that just stopped, came out of the... just kind of got highlighted for me one day, where God says, "Before you call, I will answer you." I talked about how Deb and I had been over in Branson, Missouri, coming back on an anniversary trip and getting close, and wanted to know what the weather was around the Great Lakes. And we're praying and not getting an answer. We're reading, going online. We're checking the news. We're trying to find out what the weather is. And all of a sudden, a person came right by us. I pull up to a stop sign. A car goes past us with Vermont plates. And as we talked, they said, "Don't go up there." And the question is, how far in advance had God answered that question? Had God answered our prayers? Looking down at the genealogy of Jesus, looking at some of the people in this list and some of the things people already named in there, knowing that God used each and every one of them, their failures, their shortcomings, whether or not they were going to be good. Who would think, if you're going to go looking for a mighty man of valor, who thinks it's a good idea to go check the wine press in the time of threshing of wheat? But that's where the angel of the Lord found Gideon. Because God knew where he was. And God knew what was going on. Gideon thought he was hiding. He wasn't hiding from God. God had a plan and purpose. God has a plan and purpose in our lives, even when, and it takes into account even our shortcomings, even in our failures. Mordecai, the Esther's uncle, Esther being promoted to the queen of Babylon, queen of the whole empire. The Medo-Persian Empire, it's after Babylon at this point. But being queen of the empire says, don't think you're going to get away if you don't do this. Don't think in your heart you will escape what's going to come on the Jews. But if you don't do this, God will come up with a solution. God will protect the people somehow. But maybe, just maybe, you're there because God wants to use you where you are. When we are willing to obey God, when we are willing to do what God wants us to do, there's a blessing in that. But even in our shortcomings, even in our failures, even in those times when we say no, even in those times where we try to ignore it, even at times God's nudging at our heart to speak to somebody, and for whatever reason we don't do it, maybe I'm shy, maybe I'm feeling guilty, maybe I'm just a mess. Maybe I want to convince myself, oh, that can't be God. God wouldn't send me to talk to that person. We don't know. But God knows what's going on. And God knows what our response is. Keep that in mind. Isaiah 38, beginning with verse 1. Says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick near death. Hezekiah, you remember, is listed in the genealogy of Jesus. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Who wants to get that word from the Lord? It's a whole lot better than not getting that word. You know, Isaiah got the word, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray thee, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and I have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will add to your days 15 years. God knows what our response is going to be. God knows what our decisions are. God knows everything's coming. God sent the prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah and says, set your house in order. You're going to die. Isaiah went to leave. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and says, remember me, O Lord, for the good that I've done, how I've walked in your ways. And Isaiah isn't even out of the courtyard yet, and God speaks to him again and turns him around and says, go back and tell Hezekiah he's got 15 more years. 2 Chronicles 32:33 says, so Hezekiah rested with his father, and they buried him in the upper tomb of the sons of David, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem honored him at his death, and Manasseh his son reigned in his place. After Hezekiah died, and we're not going to go into all the things Hezekiah did, the good, the bad, after God gave him the 15 more years. But when Hezekiah died, his son Manasseh became king. His son Manasseh is also listed in the genealogy of Jesus. 2 Chronicles 33:1 says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. God told Hezekiah, set your house in order, you're going to die. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and prays and says, Lord, remember me for the good. Isaiah comes back. God had sent him to say, I'm going to give you 15 more years. He lives 15 more years. He dies. He's buried in the tombs of Jerusalem with the kings. His son Manasseh takes over the throne at 12 years of age. His son Manasseh was not born, was not thought of when Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. by anyone but God. You read it through the history, you know that Manasseh was known as the worst king who ever was. And yet, at the end of his days, Manasseh turned back to begin serving the Lord. In the genealogy of Jesus, there's this man in the genealogy of Jesus who would not have been here had not Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, had God not gave him 15 more years. But God knew what Hezekiah was going to do. God knew what Manasseh was going to do. God knew all of these things that were going to take place, and God still used them. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, in fulfilling His purpose. God knows the same mistakes that we're going to make or have made. God has been faithful. God has been merciful in each and every one of our lives. He has brought us to this point. We can declare, Ebenezer, this far the Lord has been with me. We've all made mistakes. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all continue to groan, we continue to seek His face. Sometimes we say yes, sometimes we say no. Sometimes we pretend we don't hear. Yet God is still in control, and God knows what's going on and still has a plan and purpose. God's ways are always right. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. God speaking to Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. We know all about Jeremiah. We've read the book of Jeremiah. We've read the book of Lamentations. Some of the things he's gone through. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah had gone through so much. God knew beforehand. And God, being omnipotent, not just knew Jeremiah before he was born, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Not just him, but knows each and every one of us. Where we come from, where we're going, what mistakes we'll make, how we'll be obedient to his word, how he'll be able to use us, how it'll affect other people's lives. As God looks down through the pages of time, the omnipotent God who loves us, as at work in us, knows where we stand, where we fall, and yet has already promised to use all of that, cause all of that to work together for good. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Do we recognize that? That no matter what we face, no matter what's going on, God is with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Doesn't say unless you. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God loves us and is at work in us. When we find ourselves hold that thought for a minute. Back in the law, as you go back into Leviticus, and I don't remember exactly where it is, but back in Leviticus, it talks about, you know, if a person sins and they bring a sin offering, it comes to a point where it says, and if a person does something and they find out later it was wrong, there's even an offering for that. Even a, oops, I didn't even know that was wrong. And as God works in us, as He begins drawing us closer to us, drawing us closer to Him, as He begins refining us, He begins working in us. We talk about our faith being purified as silver and gold is purified. Process of putting the ore in a pot and turning up the heat and turning the pressure until the impurities come up and they're scraped off, and then it gets it gets so there's no more impurities coming, but it's not yet clear. I mean, it's not yet, you know, doesn't yet reflect the master. He turns up more heat and more pressure. And as God works in us and begins working in us to be more and more holy, to be more and more like Jesus, to be more and more a faithful witness of Him, and as the pressure comes up and things bubble up into our lives, things we thought we'd gotten rid of. It hasn't happened to me recently, but there was a time, I was a sailor for 14 years. I used to have a very limited vocabulary, the kind you would expect from a sailor. But for a long time, as I'd laid it down, I was going, and then all of a sudden there was some pressure and some difficulties coming into my life. And I caught myself before I said it, but it got to the back of my throat. And I'm, Lord, I thought I was done with this. I began laying it back to the Lord as we begin bringing back to the Lord. Lord, make me more and more like Jesus. I don't yet reflect Your glory to the world around me. Lord, help me. Lord, work in me. As God continues to work in us, turning up the heat, turning up the pressure, because He's interested in the finished product. He's interested in us being faithful witnesses. And He knows where we fall short, and He knows where we fall down. And He knows what's going to come. Yet, because He is sovereign, because He is holy, because He is omnipotent, because He is omniscient, He not only knows our mistakes, He also knows how to take those mistakes and to work them into His plan and His purpose. Psalm 139:14, or 1 through 4 rather, the beginning of that chapter and the last chapter we're going to read. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, Lord, You know it altogether. God considered you. God knows everything about you. And He says He loves you. He knows everything about you. And He says, you are my child. You are my chosen one. And before we let that puff up our head, remember God saying at one point, O Assyrian, staff of mine anger. God, I'm going to use this one. God can use anyone. Praise God, He's chosen to use you and me, because there's people out there all around us that need to see who God is. And He even takes our mistakes and our shortcomings, and He uses them to touch people. He uses them to work in people's lives. He uses the fact that when we fall, we get up and we repent and we confess and we say, I did it. I was wrong. And because we are able to do that, when the world around us is avoiding blame, pointing the fingers at someone else's fault. No, I fell. But let me tell you about a holy God who loves me even when I fall. Let me tell you about a holy God who has a plan and purpose that won't allow that to sidetrack it. That He's at work in our lives. When we trust that God is at work no matter what we see around us, no matter what we're facing, then we can stand in that confidence that though a righteous man fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His mighty hand. That God is the one who picks us up, dusts us off, and leads us on, because He is not yet done. But He who began the good work will be faithful to complete it, to do what He's called us to do. Thank You, Lord. Father, we give praise. We thank You, Lord, just for who You are. Father, that You are at work in us, that You work through us, Father, that You show Your love, Father. Lord, we thank You that even our shortcomings don't detract or derail Your plan and purpose. Lord, that You look down and You knew every last one of them, every last failure, and You still say, this is my child. You still say, walk with me. You still say, I've called you to be a light and a witness, a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles, a light to everyone around us, a salt and light in this community, in this day and age, to do what You've called us to do, Father. Lord, we give glory and praise in that. Knowing, Father, that it is not our own strength, that it is not our own wisdom, it is not our own abilities. It is us being a yielded vessel, fit for the Master's use, that makes an impact in the people around us. Father, be glorified in us and through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.